your Azure. Choose vulnerable number. Choose to
recording in progress.
One else on the platform, from the departments, as well as fellows and of course the other people who take interest in the work of this committee. I also take the opportunity to bring South Africans who follow us from different platforms where they are able to access the proceedings of this meeting. I would indeed, without waste of time, just deal firstly with the formalities and thereafter do some brief opening remarks and also in a way you start to place some of the matters on the record, including updates matters. Thereafter would then get to the items as per the notice convening this meeting. Honourable members, we are reminded of the rules of the National Assembly as they apply on virtual platforms. The first is to remind ourselves that at all times our mics remain muted. Our video cameras off until at the time when you are recognized by the chairperson to speak. At that point you will then unmute your mic, switch on your video camera. But in a situation where you experience connectivity challenges, you would ask the permission of the chairperson to proceed without a video camera on so as to maximize your bandwidth, and that the meeting is able to hear you and follow the discussion. In a situation where any of the participants on the platform is disconnected and has to reconnect, please ensure at all times that as you reconnect to the meeting, your video camera is switched off, as well as your microphone is also muted. This is to avoid the background sounds that could be picked up by microphones, as microphones are quite sensitive and this may distract the speaker that is on the platform at the time. Wise point of orders are allowed in the meeting in terms of the rules. This rule has been reminded that on raising a point of order, you would not unmute your mic unless you are recognized by the chairperson, in which case you will then be allowed to raise the point of order on which the chairperson can roll upon in line with the rules. We are also advise honorable members that you do not raise unnecessary point of orders to a point of collapsing the meeting on this platform. Like I said, it's merely to remind ourselves so as to ensure that our meetings proceed without challenges. That is on the side of the rules and how we need to conduct ourselves going forward. I would now, for purposes of us proceeding with the meeting, especially at the time when we may need to make a decision, just to know if we have the caller, as well as whether there are apologies received. Honorable caller Bala, is it an issue that you can hear me?
No, I don't have an issue. I wondered before we moved on to the agenda, if you could just give us an update on the situation with security clearances for the board, SABC board.
Honorable caller Bala, in my opening, I indicated we are dealing with the formalities first.
Okay.
Then in the opening remarks, I indicated that we also use that to update where we are before we get to the agenda. So that's why I was checking if probably there may be point that I'm not acceptable, because I was going to those that may have submitted apologies for purposes of record. Can we then invite full support if there are any apologies received?
Morning, Chairperson. There's no apologies from members. Thank you, Chair.
No apology received. And we have been given a sense that we do have now the quorum as we proceed.
That's correct, Chair.
Yes. I'll just check if Ms. Ndabeni is here.
Morning, Chairperson. Yes, Chair, I'm here. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm just checking in case there may be something else that happened this morning, which I may have slept without knowing. Otherwise, if there's no change on the update, you can just indicate, Mr. Davin.
Thank you, Chair. I was writing your message now. We've just received some feedback from SSA for 10 more results on the security checks. So as it stands now, we are at 17. So there's still more outstanding. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you, Mr. Davin. You'd understand, honorable members, that communication is done with administration as opposed to it done with the chair. So by the time they went to sleep, there was no update from the last update we have given. But you now have the update that we are at 17. But I just thought that in doing that update, honorable members, as the matter is also of public interest, that in the opening remarks I would use this to further clarify. And I've chosen this time to start with this because in the previous portfolio committee meeting we dealt with this as last, that I deal with it whilst all of us are still ready and not in a rush to get to another meeting. Which includes members of the public and those that represent civil society, continue to receive inquiries. The same to members of the media, who also take interest in ensuring that the public is informed on where the issues with regard to their national public broadcaster stands. Honourable members, you'd remember that I had briefed you that in line with your decision as the committee, that we would not want to get to a situation where we proceed to appoint, we make recommendations for appointment, and later on find that the people who do not pass the vetting. So this committee took consciously a decision that it would want to allow the vetting process so as not to have history repeating itself, where we have had appointments before in the board and there would have been questions on some of the candidates, which does in a way play on the stability of such an entity. But it is also based on lessons learned even in the other service, where people would be appointed and the candidate would have to be later withdrawn on the basis that something may come up which would affect directly the position that they hold. So in that regard, we reported at that time, as Ms. Darwin would have said, would have received 7, and now we are receiving another 10. And I want to say, honorable members, this is also as a result of the committee acting on the matter. We've deliberated, we have asked everyone else to use every avenue to ensure that we can push those on the other side to support the committee to speed up the process. At the formal level, as the chairperson of the committee, in line with the rules, which puts on the chairperson, that the chair can act in the best interest of the committee, like we did during the recess, that we advertised because there was no committee meeting that could sit, but it was in the best interest of the committee and parliament that we started the process of advertising at that time. We put up a program that we were able to do everything else that is within the power of the committee, except for this part which needed external help outside of the committee control. Now, in this regard, we have formally written to the House Chairperson, gave a detailed report of where we started and where we are, and the need to help us in interacting with the leader of government business, as well as information to the minister as the shareholder in the SABC, as well as to the president as the appointing authority, as this committee only makes recommendations of candidates, but not being an appointing authority. We've also ensuring that we do not do things outside of what the law provides, interacted with the legal department, and the legal advice received was quite clear that as the law stands at this point, there is no provision in law once the board has expired that you appoint an interim board. And therefore, the legal advice would have been the steps we have taken, understanding that we are talking to 12 non-executive members of the board, of which there are three executive members of the board who are in the main, the executives from the SABC. And the day-to-day operations of the SABC continue. As we know, the board is not responsible for such, but more of the strategy leadership. And therefore, in the intervening period, the day-to-day operations of the SABC would have not come to a halt. And we thought it's important to explain this part because in the inquiries received, the impression that has been created was that the committee would have led to the collapse of the SABC in the delay in recommending and the actual appointment. And I thought it's important from a point of separation in terms of what the board does and what those that deal with the day-to-day operations of the SABC do. And this has been also the legal position received from Parliament, and we have communicated as such. We have confirmation from the House Chairperson that the matter was receiving attention as last week, and that those discussions continue on his side to try and get us to be assisted. And I want to make once again this commitment on behalf of the committee that necessarily on the 27th of September we had already started with our deliberations with regard to candidates. The only thing that we could not do was to recommend names. But it was important for the committee to acknowledge on that day the comments from the public so that at the time of making recommendations of the names, those comments would have also been taken into account. And this has also been the legal position that has been presented to this committee. So that it's important that we have that understanding and that the committee is still committed, even if we were to receive all the candidates by the end of the day today, we'll be able to work around our times, irrespective of our programs from different political parties, to get that meeting to make the necessary recommendations and ultimately get to the House. I'm saying this because I do not have a doubt in my mind as the chairperson of the committee that my assessment so far is that all the members of this committee as members of parliament do put the people first, and they understand that the SABC is the entity of the people of South Africa. And the sooner we resolve on this matter, the better, and surely would be flexible at all times to get this out of our way from the parliament side. aspect, also in the interest of informing the public with all media inquiries that would have come through and we've been responding to. Of course, I do take note that as political parties would have different views on matters, but for those that serve in the committee, as well as other South Africans who have been following the deliberations, they do know that there is no political intention to stall the process, but it has been a prudent decision by the committee that they would want to have people who have been vetted. And this is part of responding to some of the problems that have been raised about entities of government, including the SABC on state capture. So that's very important. Maybe the other point to raise, honourable members, surely you would have received a letter with regard to the SABC from, again, the civil society lobby group, SOS, which has informed the committee formally that they have approached the NPA on the matter raised on the state capture report with regards to the SABC, and I think that's called demanding action. And I'm saying this again in the interest of informing the public that we do acknowledge everything that comes before us as the committee as it relates to public interest. So please do go through it. They've stated the reasons and, of course, quoting the area that they are focusing on, which they think the NPA needs to work on. It does not mean that the committee has taken any position on that matter, but it is a matter of us being informed that the action is the initiative of SOS as an organization that takes interest in the sector, in particular the broadcasting side of things. So I thought it's important, as I open, that I deal with this, not at the time that would be closing the meeting. So I take it that that helps to clarify that it's not really political process on other matters, but it's that we are adhering to a decision of the committee. So that's the update. If there is anything you want clarified on that, that's the time. Otherwise, we would then be moving to the agenda, of which I will also explain how I think we should deal with that aspect.
Thank you very much. I wonder if you could clarify two things for me. First of all, in the full knowledge that the vetting system, certainly in the both areas, it's common knowledge that the vetting system is way behind, thousands of cases where they still have to do vetting. So there's an inevitable delay. Why did this committee not start the process much earlier, perhaps February, putting the ads out to be hustled through as we were? Yes, we got the job done as a committee, but inevitably the obtaining of the clearance was going to be an issue. So I'm not understanding why that wasn't factored in and why this wasn't, whole process wasn't started far earlier. So that's question one. And question two would be about the legislation. Initially, I thought that it would be more or less automatic that an interim board would be appointed. But on my rereading of the legislation, it seems to me that it's only if the board is dissolved by this committee that an interim board may then, one may put forward possible members of an interim board to the president. The board was not dissolved. It worked out its full term. It was not found to have done anything egregious that would ensure its dissolution. So there was nothing in the legislation that actually said we could go ahead and now appoint an interim board or have an interim board appointed by the president. So, I mean, this clearance could take another 3 weeks or so, And we have the executive now working entirely alone with no oversight. It's an untenable position. So what's the plan? Chair?
I am.
I'm just asking.
Let me then, I'm sure other members would then want to respond, as you are saying, you are asking the committee, and I will understand from a person who comes in as a new member to the committee, you would then ask that question to the committee. But if you've been present surely, I would not expect that to happen. But be it as it may be, I'm sure you understand, Honourable Colabanet, that we do not just take the initiative. There are processes that get followed. We have received the referral not at that time, but on the 30th of June, as 80 seats by Parliament. At that time, on the 30th of June, it was the time for the recess period. That's when we received the referral. So we acted even before we acted on the referrals that were sent to the committee on the request of ministers, understanding that a particular time we needed to act on that. So we've acted based on that, and from where we are, we took the necessary steps even during the time of recess to do that. I think the second point is really that we have been faced with that before with ICASA. There was also a point of being skeptical of creating instability in the transition, that you do things that begin to say to people what decisions you can make, what decisions you can't make. So I wouldn't say that would have been the reason for the referral to come at that time of the 30th of June to the committee. So we acted once we received the referral. But as I say, other members of the committee may want to speak to that. But this other point that you are raising about the interim board, in fact, you are repeating exactly the point I was making, that the legal position is that there is no dissolution, but this is the end of term of the board, and the law is silent on that, and therefore you will not be able to move in that score. Hence, our letter clearly indicates that we need assistance in pushing the vetting process to be complete, so as to make the actual recommendation of the board, not the interim board, which is not provided for. But when you talk to interim measures, in the interim or intervening period, that's a situation we have. It's exactly what you described, that you have the other executives running without, of course, the board being there, which is why it's important that those that need to assist the process understand what we are dealing with. I must say, Honourable Colabanet, if you remember when we were briefed on the timelines that were presented to the committee, this was based on experience of the committee in dealing with the SSA in the other appointments we've been doing, that you will give it that period. At that point, there was no preemption or any plan to say probably SSA may not be able to meet the timelines as they usually do, because we must also commend them that they were able to do it at different times and were able to make our recommendations at the time we need to make recommendations from a vetting point of view, right? So that's the situation we have. So from a point of a plan is that we think the intervention that we sought is beginning to give us the results that are needed in pushing the numbers. Otherwise, as me and you would know, and the other members, we have not been getting a report that says there's any progress being made over and above those people that may have also signed the consent letters quite late, as compared to what was expected of them. And I think, like I said, we've even encouraged members here who may have influence in the other committees, which includes yourself, that raise the matter, because I still maintain the committee decision not to appoint or recommend subject to would have been a correct decision to do. So that at the time we make recommendations, we don't come back to regret when one of the candidates has to be removed already, probably appointed subject to. And it's part of the renewal we need in the state, that we get credible people in these institutions, right? Not just from a point of qualifications we've seen, but when you say fit for purpose, it also means that all other things are important. If I were to use the words of the legal people, well, that morality question still remains important as we rebuild these entities, even if we do not think we should consider what the public raises about certain candidates. So I'm just saying, for me, that will be the response in that regard, that surely those who need to make decisions are following what we are talking about here. And we must appreciate that we are halfway there. It means that we just need to put more emphasis that it's not within our control, but we are really pleading that we get to be assisted, because there's no plan, like we have said, no plan for an interim board, because there's no such a provision. So the only plan we have is to get this recommendation process going through, and it ultimately gets to the House. Of course, if we were to get this done this week, it would have been good to just get the meeting going and still lobby the programming committee from all fronts to get us on the agenda, and that the board is able to get in that score. So we can only hope, from the fear you have of no oversight, that even those that are appointed in positions of the executives, that they also act in the interest of the people, and that in that period would not have to have any investigation, that there would have been a problem. And I think we should trust them enough that they are acting in the best interest of the people, even in this gap measure that is there. So that will surely be the response I see.
I do have a follow-up, sorry, Chair, from what you have just said, if I may.
Yes, Honourable Bodlani, I've noted you. Yes, proceed.
Oh, shall I? Chair, when you said you waited, you were only told by the minister in June, why would you wait for a minister to tell you what you know? I mean, the five-year period is a finite period. You knew exactly what day that board would be no longer, would close down. So is there something in some legislation I'm not aware of that somehow this committee's got to wait to be told by the minister that something's going to happen, which they know is going to happen because they appointed the board 5 years ago? I'm not understanding. We do oversight over the department, over the ministers, over everything to do with this portfolio. Why are we waiting on someone else to tell us to do a portion of the job that we already know has to be done? I think that is perhaps how I should have phrased my initial question. Thank you.
Let me then take Honourable Portland, so that when I respond at once.
So, person, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep my video off. I have load shedding, if you don't mind.
You are permitted, Honorable, for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think with everything that Honorable Dan Kolabanat has raised, the question is then, does the programming committee understand the urgency of the matter? And with everything said and done, can we get a commitment from you to say when the state agency finally provides the clearance for the candidates, then we do not wait for our scheduled meetings. Perhaps we then call an urgent meeting so that we do not have a situation where there is a vacuum in the leadership, especially considering that legislation does not make room for an interim board, which in fact would not even be desirable. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Dr. Basso.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think firstly, we need to thank you for the briefing about this process, because the reality here, we are being hampered left and right by the media in particular, because they don't have this information. Now that this has been clarified, I so wish that we should find a way that everybody's on board in terms of understanding. That's one. Number two, as you know, that I'm also very new in the committee, but my understanding from the very beginning when we started this process, it was explained that we are working under pressure as the committee. We are working on injury time. But we must try our level best to ensure that we proceed with the process smoothly. And as such, we ensure that we do comply in terms of legislation and other processes that are there. That's my understanding. Hence, at some point, it was agreed that even the issue of the team should be done parallel with our process so that there are no further delays. Hence, the chair, ultimately, I would appeal to the members that at this point in time, all of us, as a member of members of committee at this point in time, knowing very well the challenges in front of us, let's own up the process. Chair, it won't be fair to find ourselves at this point in time where it's us and them within the same committee, because for me, that will raise issues as if we have not properly handled this as the committee. The impression that is there already with the public as well as with the media, I am saying that therefore, Chair, let's try our level best as the committee. We have started this process and we're good in terms of the interviews and everything else. Let's not lose that momentum, because the problem is not with us. Although I'm not sure where but I'm saying the problem is not with us, then hours from now, Chair, in my view, we need to find a way. How do we manage this process going forward? All of us here, as members of committee, that would be my plea, Chairperson, in this. Even if somebody arrived yesterday, but all of us now are members of committee, let's try and find a way to ensure that this process is very smooth. We must not have us and them at this point in time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Basso. I'm checking if I have left anyone else, because I think at this point I'm going to respond and hold that we are able to move forward.
Machozi.
Yeah, Honorable Machozi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I keep my video off?
I can hear your multitasking there.
Yes. No, but Chair, on a serious note, I think what Honorable Pasok is saying is very important. And we must note that we are all members of this committee. And you are sharing the committee. You've got other responsibilities, yes, regarding the committee. But in matters of the entities, we all take these decisions. And we cannot be players and referees at the same time. So we must then take this process as it is, so that it becomes a fair process for everyone. We cannot say that now we are 17 candidates and we want to now speed up the process and other members have not been vetted as yet. So as much as the media is out there gunning, but we'll keep on responding to what we know, to what the process is happening. I mean, that thing was public, the public was participating also in, so they saw that the process was fair. It's only the not part of our side as the committee, because if we're doing the best thing, then we need to speed up the process, but it's not us who is entitled to do so. Okay, so we can't play a referee and a player at the same time. So let us just wait for the process to unfold, and after that, then we will proceed as such. Thanks, Chair.
Can I come in the last one?
Honorable Dr. Basso, yes, the follow up.
That is the very last point, Chair. It's a proposal, not rather to be seen as we are suppressing other members. For me, we come up with proposals. That's where we are as the committee. I think Honorable Bosani has started that. That's where we are now. How do we get after this? Now, I'm proposing it here. Let's come up with proposals to assist the process as a committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Basso, and other members who have made their contributions. As I said, we would in a way move from this point after I briefly respond. Honorable members would remember that there are people who are made to assist the committee. This includes the content advisors who take us through the processes all the time, because it's not through the administration side, as well as the committee support that then executed the end. In the absence of the ADC, even when you have appointed a member, as it has happened with some of the members who have joined this committee, they had to observe and not be regarded as committee members until it's officialized in Parliament. We've been made to understand this in all the other processes that we've gone through, that referral from the Speaker gets to be important and it's official. And we therefore act on behalf of Parliament on those bases. And like I said, which is very important, because this has been the angle that we have been responding to even over the weekend, that we didn't do anything. We are responsible for the failure as the committee. And to the contrary, I want to maintain, when an official referral by the Speaker to the committee, we have responded adequately, including invoking the rules of the National Assembly, where the chair could act without the committee in the best interest of the committee. And for that reason, we have acted accordingly, but we needed to act on something official. It may be a matter we may want to discuss later on, as we would be looking at other processes, whether it is indeed correct to go 12 months, like others are suggesting in the public, that we should have done it 12 months before, and what it does to the stability of the institutions and the decisions that get taken in the interim period, when people do understand that they may not be making the cut in that regard. And I'm saying we had this discussion when we were looking at ICASA, when we wanted to do even other vacancies long before they would expire, and this would have been point that today we have moved from zero, we are at 17. And those that are making those interventions, I think we should appreciate that they have also listened to the committee on the need to get things done speedily from the side of the committee so that we can deliver to Parliament. And therefore, Honourable Bosclan, clearly would still push for the programming. And that is why I committed yourselves without checking with yourselves. And I am happy that you are confirming that. That we should be able to be flexible as people who act in the interest of the people. And SABC belongs to the people of South Africa. We have to ensure the stability there. So we would have to meet at any given time and show you, as chair, the programming, they would have the same responsibility in accommodating the committee because the interest is the same. It is that of the people of the country. So it's important to just make that point. And as I make this point, it should be clear that at this point, even the parliament or the programming committee would not be to blame as if they may probably have refused us an opportunity to present on an agency basis. It is because there is no report before them. And the reason there's no report is because the committee has not been able to finalize owing to an external dependencies. And as I leave this point, is to really come back to the point raised by Honorable Dr. Maso, as well as Honorable Machos, that even at the time when there is pressure or an attack on your decision, what you need to satisfy yourself with is whether that decision was taken properly, which in this case, yes, because it was a committee decision, that we would not want to proceed with recommending people without them being vetted. And whether that decision indeed makes sense in terms of what we want to address, and therefore its correctness is not the one under question, but it is what will enable that decision to be effected that we're struggling with, which is got external dependencies. So the correctness of the decision, we should not doubt it because there are questions out there to a point of becoming representatives of that question instead of explaining the rationality of the decision that the committee would have taken in assisting that the government is able to ensure that we put people there fit for people and so on. Right? So I'm just saying the correctness of this is also to learn from history. In particular with SABC, those who have been following, they know that history. And in fact, at that time, when there was that problem, they questioned whether there was no vetting process done before you could appoint people. So we should be a learning committee because we do have legacy reports that we worked on, and there are things that we may not want to repeat, not with our eyes open, honorable members. I really appreciate your contributions in this regard, and indeed we'll do our best to continue to interact with those that must assist the process. And I can confirm, Honorable Bosani, even after this meeting, we'll still be lobbying that there must be flexibility on the side of the committee to get, firstly, a meeting even outside of our slot, like it has been the case in other situations, to finalize the matter once there is the report. But we can't apply it on just half of the candidates. It will just not be fair to do so. And therefore, are prioritized on the agenda. And as I said, I tell people who sit in the programming committee, even though they may come from different political parties and presiding officers, but what is common is the interest of the public that they represent as members of parliament. And surely they will be reasonable in this regard, as they've been before when we were dealing with other appointments. I want to warn that honourable members will now proceed from this point, and that we get to the part of the agenda in that regard. Now, as we get to the agenda, this is the point I want to also make at this point, so that when we get to the actual presentation, one would have clarified it in the beginning. I'm sure honourable members will also have appreciation that we met on Tuesday last week. They themselves would have raised a point about the number of entities we need to deal with, and that we will also need to come back to some of the entities. I must say that a draft amendment to the program has been submitted very late in the evening. The files would have been shared, and I went back to it to ask for changes as it relates to the SAPO appearance, that it would have been better to have it as a program coming in after the medium-term budget policy statement that the Minister of Finance would give, so that at the time we meet, we have a better sense of what we are dealing with, as there's been always a referral to what could come or not to come out of that process. So with those proposed changes, we would then have it circulated. Otherwise, we are in the meeting. I would expect that members would make comments, because we would want to have those not very long, but in this program for the term, as we are last week, I hope we bring them, group them, but those that are in the separation and pay attention, it's challenges. The idea was simply to just shift it just after the minister would have addressed instead of before that, so that there's no referral to what could come and not to come from that one of the ministers. So that's the point I thought I should deal with right in the beginning, so that when we work on recommendations and observations, we can take that into account. And I'm sure we, having read the same documents, I think with this thing of draft and final draft, there may have been some issues there in terms of information missing. I have on my side, in particular with DCTT, not noticed the missing SAPO report and recommendations, and I've raised that with the content advisors and COVID support, and I'm sure they'll be able to respond to those, which therefore means that would indeed appreciate that they have worked in a short space of time to consolidate what we ourselves termed a long presentation for the day and engagements. And that we use today's meeting to also put further amendments where we need to, and post the meeting once the cleaning up has been done. We have it again circulated for members to see if all those would have been affected, and if there are any further submissions, that in writing will still be acceptable, and we'll still be able to see in any way the final report that goes to the House on behalf of the committee, that it covers those points. So I just thought I should also clarify whoever points to talk to. And maybe the last point will just be on consistency in the writing, especially when you refer to audit opinions. I know generally we would use the language of clean audit and so on. But the point would be that a clean audit is understood to be an unqualified report and it has no matters or material findings on it. But once it's qualified, it's unqualified with the material findings. You have to be consistent in every entity that is unqualified, but that is matters raised. So that we don't just say unqualified, but it's opinion. It may leave the impression that it's all clean audits when it's not the case. So that will be also something, one thought from just quality assurance side of things, may still need to be looked at. Otherwise, I do trust that members, they have gone through the reports and they will be making the necessary amendments to the reports. Hajira, you assist us with the flighting of the reports. So this will be what desires and MDDA. We'll do it as we usually do, go page by page, but spend time on what we say are observations of the committee, as well as the recommendations of the committee. We are now on the committee observations. On setting there on observations under the department. Maybe not to generalize the community radio stations. That community radio stations become self-sustainable. But also that it is the task of the MDDA as they talk to the sustainability model that they're working on. So it should be at the end of the day. It should treat community radio stations. And work on recommendations. patients.
I move adoption of the report. Thank you.
A second, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Dr. Basson, seconds. We noted to the FF notes and the report. Any objection as to adopting the report? No objection. The report is agreed to, then get to the next report. On this entity and its entities. Observations starting with the department. If I don't see your hand, honorable members, you will then just indicate by calling your name so that I note you. Detrimental effect
correct, Chairperson. I think we listed the SABC, we also listed Centec.
Centec, yourself,
I can't remember the other one.
Yes, yourself, yourself. Remember that was when we're having, even the figures are not the same, that we need to focus on those. This includes quite them in, so at least there's agreement on that. So I just wanted that change to be done. I
think Chair, is that correct?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Kupega.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Can I just check this, Chair, to say on the side of the SAPO, because also it's working with the issue of the STP, it's not being included on that entities that they are working with the issue of PDM.
Yes, it's all those that work on the PDM. So that includes SAP, yes.
Point of clarity, Chair?
Yes, Honorable Potter.
If my memory serves me well, there was no real implications on the audit outcome of SAPO in relation to BDM. But Centec and the SABC, they raised those as issues. So I'm a bit uncomfortable including SAPO in that list because it is not the list of those that are affected by BDM, but it is affected in terms of the audit reports. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Podlani, as it relates to the audit side, I agree with you. Let's talk differently from the part about the program where we call them to appear before the committee. Because the certain boxes are with the SAP, there have been also issues raised even about the reconciliation of those numbers, what is in the stores, what is the out there, and there have been investigations before. So I'm saying maybe let's separate from the recommendation itself where we are asking those that are implementing and there have been issues raised with them. I'm not sure if
no, sir, that sir,
would help. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You have also covered me on my side because at the end of the day, we are saying all the entities that are working with the issue of the BGM. So SAPO is part there because it was dealing with the issue of the STP boxes. Thank you.
Okay, if we then move it, it's just agreement one on center. Find it called. one in a number of steps. So it may bring up reports if we can get that. I can come back to it so we can move.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Kubeka.
As you are raising, can maybe include it on the issue of FPB, because it's not being also noted to say it managed to receive that a clean audit check.
It's supposed
to be.
And you're taking phone calls with different types of
questions. I don't hear who's on the platform now. Was it someone who's opened up the mic? But there was a background, someone, yes. Okay. We can then move.
What specifically are these moving the adding?
There we are. Can we, as I said, honorable members, I did go back on the issue of SAPO. Can we also see the observations and recommendations on SAPO? I would want you to spend time on this one, honorable members, because as I said, my own writing was when it was absent, and I checked the content advisors team there, that a similar confusion that may have been in the portfolio committee itself would have led to that, in that it is Postbank that did not table, but SAPO did and also responded to questions. So we are on observations. So I will take a bit of time on this one to allow our members to.
I'm not sure if we captured the issue that was raised by the CEO about there not being the executive board. I'm not sure if, sorry, my gadgets are down and I have no shade, so I'm reading from a very small screen. So my guidance, your guidance, please. The issue about there being no executive where you have people acting, have we captured it correctly? Is it the way I'm understanding it on point 10?
That concern that supply is a management problem, and that except the CEO position, everyone is still acting in a contract position.
Okay, then my request, Chairperson, is that we amplify that and list those that are acting, and then I'm happy when you say it.
Okay, I'm sure the content advisor has to get the point there, CEO, HR, the CFO, and that. which would then speak to the recommendation that even the Auditor General put, where it talks about freedom of agencies there, which X1 also emphasizes. Okay, I take it that point then is but for the another member.
I think where it says yes, Chair. Thanks. I think, Chair, where it says concern that vital vacancies are not filled, we ought to say which vital. Yeah. So basically name them. Express must be expressive about this. And then
yeah, so they would list them there. Like I said, we should be able to do that. The CEO put them quite clearly.
In 14, that's upper 5-5 employees. I see it does say needs clarity. Is there no further information? Do we know who it was, why it was, why they were fired? Did they steal? Were they charged? We don't really, that doesn't give us much. I don't know if there was anything more that was available, but I think we need to find out.
Yeah, is that Honorable Kolabana, I understood that point differently as the one of the five people withdrawn from what is it? Is it the trustees thing on the medical aid?
Yeah, that was only done literally 2 weeks ago. I don't think that would be covered in this report.
So that's what I'm saying. That what I remember would be that one.
Yes, I think that will only be referred to, I'm sure, in the next annual report, because the cutoff was long past for the annual report. I mean, it did not happen during that period. So this only happened 2 weeks ago that she kicked them out. So what five employees are we talking about here, and under what circumstances and what for? So I think we definitely need clarity on this lot.
Okay.
Should we remove it, Ms. Barnum? Can I just
I said, from where I'm sitting, there's not been that issue, except as it talked to trustees, that was in a question and response side of things. So would have to take it out and then move on.
Yes, I don't think that can be referred to because it doesn't fall under the time frame.
So to move that. Then we are on recommendations.
Another issue, Chair, if I may.
Are you on recommendations?
I'm not sure if I missed it somewhere. Is there some reference somewhere to the court cases going on at the South African Post Office? Because there is a huge court case against them for taking the contribution, the medical aid contributions. That has been ongoing for some time. So I'm not sure if there are any other court cases, but that certainly has been ongoing during this time period. So they were forced to pay over huge amounts of money now to pay not only in relation to that court case, but because they've been found to be keeping the medical aid and other contributions within the post office and not paying them over to the end entities such as MediPost or UIF or whoever. So I think that court case was ongoing during this time frame. Thank you.
Find a reason to that.
Yeah, I would probably say which resulted in the payment of contributions for only union members, I suppose. I don't know. Is it a union? I think. Maybe look into that. I'm not sure of the name or anything. Yeah. Thank you.
No, so that we don't refer to something we cannot stand for. So we can look at that so that the facts are correct. Honorable Kubek.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for saying that statement. I just wanted to check because when I recall last week in the portfolio committee, the CEO on the side of the medical aid story was trying to explain, even with the funds. Maybe on that side, can we also maybe to verify, because indeed she was trying to explain, to say they are trying their level best on that side of trying to correct the situation as they, it was a challenge with the issue of funds there. Thank you.
If I may, Chair, I've been following this very closely. May I speak?
Yes, Honourable Colopanel.
Thank you. I think we've got two separate issues. Yes, of course, no medical aid contributions have gone to the medical aid. So some union members went to court and the SOPO was forced to pay their contributions. The rest of the members simply had their medical aid cut off. So the sheriff of the court went and attached 66 million rand, which the post office was not sending the letter through to have released. That has now finally, I think 3 days ago, been released, and the medical aids have been reinstated, although there are still huge debts that the post office have, they've taken the contributions from the employees but not paid it to the medical aid. So it is their issue, and as much as she tried to blame other people, it has happened on her watch that the medical aid contributions have been taken by the post office and not paid to the medical aid. So this is an ongoing huge concern. I mean, it's being investigated by the Hawks. There's a massive concern because no entity may take contributions by employees and use them for something else instead of paying it to the medical aid or PAYE, UIF, pension, etc. And I'm afraid that's what's been happening. Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable Kubeka, I'm not sure if you want to still come back on the matter, or should I just explain exactly the point we're making?
Chair, I think you can come in, but as I was saying, the CEO have tried to clarify that matter last week to Honorable Kuala Banat, but you can come in.
No, I was saying, Honorable Members, would work on the wording, but our wording is going to be informed by facts, because there were some facts shared with us, including the part about the money that would have gone to lawyers, stayed in that account, so it was paid over, but the understanding on the other side would have been that that has not been done. So those were we explained, including what the situation is currently, and we're given some evidence of money that got transferred by a particular time and so on, and where things are.
The money was attached by the sheriff of the court. So I don't know why it's saying lawyers, and put into a specific account held by the sheriff of the court. And that was awaiting a letter from the South African Post Office to allow its release. So that seems to be the situation.
That's why I'm saying we would work on the wording based on facts shared. But I was just clarifying, as Honorable Kubeka would have also raised the point. So, but the part about deaths of SAPO, there's been admission from all angles that they still have historical debt that they need to deal with. Hence, they talk to funding that is required which helps both in addressing the debt, but also assisting them to implement the turnaround strategy, which is the post office of tomorrow, in that regard. So we would work on this for as long as a principle that we separate those and we are able to put facts so that content advisors can work on this, the committee support, and circulate it accordingly. But I also want us to still look at the recommendations whilst we agree that these are the points we will work them on recommendations.
Chair, perhaps we could add one to that. One of
yes,
I'm very happy. Actually, it says it in number six. I think I'm adequately covered there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other member? Okay, so that takes care of the SAPO portion. Of course, because the reports are in the main based on the annual report, in the body of the report, that paragraph from SAPO would also be included. Right. Then that's the report. So if we can also, from a point of formalizing the report, if I can have an indication of the mover and seconder, taking into account the areas that was put to work.
Thank you, Chair. With those amendments made, I move that the report be adopted.
Honorable Kombo.
Chairperson.
No. Yes, Honorable Machose.
No, thank you, Chair. Can I ask a question? Because I want to get clarity from the report that we're seeing, because I wouldn't feel comfortable in adopting reports with amendments that were not discussed within a committee. So are we only going to get the info that were discussed in the committee, or now we're going to get more information on items that were discussed and those are not the responses that we got, in terms of, especially on the item of SAPO and the medical aid and so forth? Because if we're adopting a report, it's a report that we had discussed in a meeting with all of us, and the CEO was giving a response. So I would then say, if maybe we omitted a response from the CEO's side, then yes, I don't mind in adopting the report. But if now we're including new information, then that is where my problem is going to be, because then how are we including information that we not discussed in the meeting? Can I get clarity on that too?
As you know, all the corrections we're making are on the basis of what was presented. We can't create something new now. So that's what it means. So when Honorable Kong pushes for adoption, it is on the basis of that we're not changing, but we are just reworking based on facts shared with us. Thank you.
Okay then, Chair, I will second the adoption of the report.
But would have been seconded. May I then check if there's an objection on us adopting the report with the amendments that we are effecting, and that amendment includes putting the back the portion on SAPO as presented to us. No objection. So the report is agreed to. May we go back to the agenda?
Chairperson, it will be three sets of minutes now, Chair.
We are now on the minutes of the 20th September.
That's correct, Chair.
Okay. We'll go through page by page as usual. Corrections. Can I then get a mover and second of adoption of minutes of the 20th?
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Tembo, I recognize.
I move adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Mover.
That person just not clarify to what the screen said because I could not see anything.
I don't get you, Honorable Bodani.
I don't know whether it's because my gadget is low on battery, but what the screen share, did the other members see it? Because I could not see it from my side. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes, the screen has been shared. Yeah, we really feel for you. We are finding it difficult to follow the editor's call.
That person will make the point for the need for physical meeting.
I understand you, Honorable Olan, and I really feel for you that we need to consider that, but also that our communications and digital committee, we should make this work not only for us, but for society generally. But I take your point. The minutes of the 27th September 2022.
Chairperson, if you can just wait a second, on the 20th of September.
Oh, sorry. Honorable Ntembo, Honorable Bodlani, it was back secondly. So Honorable Ntembo had moved on the one of the 20th. Can I get formally the second?
I second, sir.
Okay, thank you. We're now on the 27th September. There are no corrections. Can I also get a second, a mover and a second for the adoption of minutes? Am I still audible?
We can hear you, Chairperson.
Oh, I thought it's me who was outside the meeting. I've asked for a mover and a second. That's important for formal adoption of minutes.
Yes, you are audible. I propose a move adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Honorable Ntembo moves. Can I get the seconder?
Mr. Chair,
Honorable seconds. We're now dealing with the last.
The last item,
that's the meeting of the 11th of October. As you know, it's the minutes, but we have also dealt with the actual reports. Can I then get the mover and seconder for adoption of these minutes? The minutes of the 11th of October. Just 2 minutes.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Kubeka moves for adoption of minutes. Can I get a seconder? Honorable Dr. Basso.
Chairperson, I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you. The minutes are seconded. Take it that there is no objection. No objection. So on the set of minutes have been agreed to. Hajira, you would indicate if there's another item to do.
That's it for the agenda, Chairperson. Unless you have something else, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Of course, as this takes us to the end of the business of the day, it's really a reminder that if the info is not reached to you by now, that please do make comments later today when you go through it on those proposals on amending the program to include the areas we identified last week to be put in the program. We can just get your response in writing if you are so agreed. Like I said, in particular with SAPO, we would want to take it just after the Minister of Finance would have delivered the medium-term budget policy statement to the House. So if you can just keep that in mind, that would have such. Of course, as I commented earlier, if there's any improvement on the part that relates to the SABC, we should be flexible to be convened to a meeting outside of our usual slots. I'm repeating this point because I do appreciate that you also serve in the other committees that we clash with. A day we may look at and I'm pleading with you for that flexibility for us to complete our task. With that, honorable members, we take the opportunity to thank you for your contributions as we end the meeting, so the meeting stays adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.